Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. And whether we defeat the enemy in one battle or by degrees, the consequence will be the same. Thomas Paine, author and founder, 1777. Now, I remember when I first got into ministry, I was approached and asked to attend a youth group to give my testimony, and of course, I obliged. I also remember after giving my testimony that week, I began to hear over and over and over again the youth pastor as to what he was going to do in reaching the up-and-coming generations, and that was it. Yet, week after week, it was the same thing, just sensationalized preaching with little to no action outside of the church building. It then dragged on month after month, at which point I had enough. Here I am preparing to bring about the answers to this world, and this guy is nothing but talk, 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 and even more talk. Now, I'm not built to sit around in a church building and pacify and deceive myself and others by merely talking about what needs to be done. How was I to sit around and merely talk about what Christ commanded us to do? Just think of it this way. I would not have been at the church in the first place if there had not been someone who reached out to me. As a side note, after every church service, I was in a church library studying the likes of Charles Spurgeon, John Knox, Martin Luther, Charles Finney, John Wesley, John Calvin, Jonathan Edwards, Smith Wigglesworth, John Alexander Dowie, William and Catherine Booth, etc. I mean, these were giants in the faith that obtained a good report, and I wanted to know the God that they served. Because, friends, there is a definite difference between the church in America from the founding era to the very present. How was I going to spend the rest of my life reading about the history of the men that proved the God of Israel and have been partakers of signs and wonders and not do the same thing? Especially knowing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I mean, after all, it was Jesus who said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And if he is not a respecter of persons, then I have the same access into the Holy of Holies to commune with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as our forefathers did. Friends, I cannot sit in a circle and pretend. I will not preach without his witness. I will not have any part of playing church without the practice of what I preach. For this is the widespread problem that we are having in this country today. Furthermore, my spirit hungers and strives for connection with the God of David through Jesus Christ to see him do for my generation that which he did for David's. Scripture is clear. You do not find the Lord by just talking about his promises. You must act. It's found in Psalm 71, verse 18 and 19. O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hath done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Friends, it is not enough to talk about what needs to be done. Is it enough to talk about great men of the past that proved the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? I say not. No, it is not. Talking alone does not get the job done. Faith that worketh by love does, because action speaks much louder than words. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 again tells us, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men were among you for your sake." And bringing it closer to the present time from that of biblical patriarchs is our founding fathers, who sacrificed themselves in order that their posterity, me and you, might have freedom. I'm speaking namely of the Black Robe Regiment. Folks, let me tell you about the Black Robe Regiment. These were the apostolic and prophetic preachers of the day, and the forerunners who had the courage to act on our behalf over 242 years ago. They did not just preach out against the sins of the tyrants. They fought against him and his armies by resisting and throwing off his ungodly rule. President Thomas Jefferson said, "Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God." Right on. Roger Sherman, architect and signer of the Declaration of Independence, along with President Thomas Jefferson, said, "Sad will be the day when the American people forget their traditions and their history and no longer remember..."
BBSRadio.com. Every time we turn our heads the other way, when we see the flawed flouted, when we tolerate what we know to be wrong, when we close our eyes and ears to the corrupt because we're too busy or too frightened, when we fail to speak up and speak out, we strike a blow against freedom and decency and justice. Robert Kennedy. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. Martin Luther, the great reformer, stated, "When you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on."
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Rocker. Rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly Mr. Bradley Dean. If you want to call in, 281-845-4704, 281-845-4704. If you want to jump online and check us out on social media platforms, that is sonsoflibertymedia.com, top left side of that page, sonsoflibertymedia.com, and or beforeitsnews.com, beforeitsnews.com, top left side of that page as well. Folks, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Come on, come on. Because it's a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. True that we have the mind of Christ here, friends. Therefore, we follow him, John 14:6. I want you to check this out. Is this insane? I remember when this all went down. But look at this guy took this meme, this post, and I'm going to read it for you in just a moment. And when he took this post, he said, "Look, Obama, by the way, all the said conservatives of the day didn't want to touch the fact that he was a foreigner. And then when he's after he's done completing his criminal tenure and assailing the Constitution, in other words, giving the American people the finger over 1,183 times, he goes over to Kenya and tells them that he was the firstborn president from Kenya. Michael, his wife, as well, he said that. I didn't. Also said it a couple times, and what they're doing is blurting the truth out in their confusion. But again, I want to go back and just remind you, friends, that Obama, right? This guy posted, "Obama made it legal for the media to purposely lie to the American people." I get what he's saying, and I'm going there, but I just want to make clear as to what he's saying here. It was never legal. I've heard other men say everything Adolf Hitler did was legal. Nothing he did was legal. At the proceedings of the Nuremberg trials in May of 1945, the first thing that Harry Truman said is the laws of God and the laws of men had been broken. That's why there was a trial. The reference to God's law and condemning the crime, Deuteronomy 25, making reference to Exodus 20. So again, to suggest that Obama made it legal, it's not legal to lie, folks. A false witness shall not go unpunished, and he that speaketh lie shall perish, right? It's not legal to lie. So to suggest that this is legal shows you how dumbed down the people have become in this country. But let's get to the pith and marrow of it. In 2012, this is true. He signed H.R. 4310, which allowed propaganda, put that up against Micah 6:16, to be used on U.S. citizens by its government, essentially repealing the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, which banned the use of domestic propaganda. It was just revised. That's all. There's nothing about H.R. 4310 that's lawful. But the American people have allowed them to rewrite it. But I'm here to tell you, it's still illegal. Just because they call it law, just because it looks like law, just because it smells like law and has the color of law, doesn't make it long or make it law. You know, you've heard the saying, folks, if it looks like a duck and it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, well, it must be a duck. Well, this isn't a duck. This is a lie. There's no premise in which they have, in any sense of the word, no leg to stand on, for a better way of saying it, to suggest that they can create propaganda in a violation of the First Amendment. If you go back to the founders, which we always have to go back to, right? Going back to the foundations, Charles D. Montesquieu once again said, "Liberty is the right to do what the law permits. They do not have a right to transgress the law." Furthermore, this criminal from Kenya, Barack Hussein Obama, who was entertaining America's sworn enemies within the halls of government and did everything in his power to destroy our foundations and attack our foundations, you need to consider the source. I mean, he's a little minion of hell. He is. Matter of fact, when I was on Radio Salem, I had to make sure we were broadcasting into Washington, D.C. and in Chicago, right? Where we were told that this foreign criminal was from. He's a sodomite, too, by the way. But what was interesting, and that's all you have to do, is put the two together here, friends. Remember, Barack Hussein Obama was the one, along with his attorney general, Mr. Holder, Eric Holder, during that particular time, that were busted gun trafficking. They were taking guns and they were trafficking them to Mexico. How many people died because of what they did? You know what's interesting? They were busted doing it. It was called Fast and Furious. Do you remember this? Yep. Obama and his attorney general were gun running. Go ahead and rewind just a little bit and pay attention to what was going on in Benghazi during that particular time too, because that's what it was all about. They were gun running in Benghazi. That's why Ted Nugent came out and said Obama needed to be hanged, because he understood what he was guilty of. The Clintons were a part of that as well. But let's go back to Fast and Furious really quick. Do you remember when they were busted? Your said president, Barack Hussein Obama, and your said Attorney General Eric Holder were busted running guns into Mexico. When they were busted, this is how your government is operating. This is a reflection of how the people and what it is that the people tolerate. Because every country deserves the government that it has, because it's a reflection of the people. What did Barack Hussein Obama do once he was called out? Luke 12:2. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and nothing hid that shall not be made known. The Lord in his mercy brought it to the light. He went over to Mexico and trying to incite the people of Mexico against the American people for the crimes that he and his attorney general committed. He went over there and he blamed the American people for the crimes that he committed. And in truth, before God, the American people are accomplices, because when he did that, they failed to bring justice upon his head for doing and committing such a heinous crime against the people of Mexico. That was on him, and yet he blamed you. And yet the American people still sit back and they still allow it to happen on a 24/7 basis. I'm going to hit this really quick and we'll pull this up on the second round during the second segment up and coming, of course, after the first one. Remember I highlighted all the people that were paid off with Zelensky? You guys knew that, and know that Zelensky is a sodomite. Okay, I played the videos for you, right? He's in gay videos, sodomite videos, dancing around with drag, playing the piano with his male appendage like it's a joke.
you remember all the said representatives from America that were paid millions of dollars to aid this Nazi? I'm going to come back to it in just a moment. Be right back.
Hello, this is Caleb Collier, host of Church and State. Find us at churchandstate.media. Take it from me, you have to listen to Bradley Dean. Bradley Dean is one of the greatest theologians and patriots of our time. He is leading the charge in our modern-day revolution. Bradley doesn't pull punches and always presents what is right, not beholden to party, politics, or pulpits. I am proud to call him friend. He is truly a son of liberty.
Content Christian Media Conference is hosting a one-day event on Monday, February 24th at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. It's one amazing day of fellowship, networking, screenings, panels, and inspirational keynotes. There'll be breakouts on filmmaking, storytelling, writing, distribution, and more, with lunch included. It's perfectly timed, just before the start of NRB.
Register at christianmediaconference.com.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And start making a difference in your world today.
Don't have a place to go for church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with Scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all true Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you're looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inerrant Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble.
So that this nation may long endure, I urge you to follow in the hallowed footsteps of the great disobedience of history that freed exiles, founded Christianity, defeated tyrants, and yes, in the hands of an aroused rabble, in arms and a few great men, Charlton Heston. The brave man inattentive to his duty is worth little more to his country than the coward who deserts her in the hour of danger. President Thomas Jefferson. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty, 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. Say hey to Don for us. I want to highlight this. I was just highlighting the fact that last week I had covered the fact that all the money and the billions that your said representative stole from you, to those that work, they stole your money and they sent it over to a Nazi who, by the way, who was praised by the mainstream media here in America. He was the person of the year. Interestingly enough, he's also a sodomite. I played the videos of him playing the piano with his gay buddy, with his male appendage, no joke. Also played video for you of Zelensky dancing around in drag, no joke. He was an actor, for those that didn't know, just like every other politician. I'll get to that in just a moment. But he was an actor that was promoted to the president, state of president, in that country fairly swiftly, too, friends. And I think people need to pay attention to how they're promoted because they're extorted. They're controlled, period. Okay? Now, that's no secret. But look at this. Zelensky just threw the whole Ukraine money laundering operation under the bus by stating he received less than half of the $177 billion in aid sent by the United States. So again, they somehow or another just lost all that money. I don't know that America was awake during the September 11th happenings. Remember what James Madison warned us of, the fourth president of the United States of America? He said if tyranny or oppression ever come into America, it will come in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. Who's profited from September 11th more than your said representatives? Nobody has. Look at the agencies that have been created. What have they been created for? They're created to war against you, their political opposition. It's not a lie. Go ahead and reach out to the DHS and ask them the 72 definitions of what a domestic terrorist is. But the point that I wanted to make is the day before September 11th happened, which would have been September 10th, obviously, over $2 trillion went missing from the Pentagon. Did you guys all know this? Most people don't pay attention to all this. My goodness, friends, we got to wake up to what's happening here. Everything's always blamed on some what? Foreigner. Who gave him the money? I'm showing you on social media platforms. Zelensky admits 58% of U.S. dollars are missing. Here's another post. Folks, that's your money. Well, it went from 116, I think, to now 177 billion in aid. And he said over half the money's missing. I hate highlighting this stuff, but I'll tell you what, I love the word and I love the Lord of the word, number one, who is made flesh, John 1, but I also love the Constitution, which is my guide. Just like what George Washington said, the Constitution is the guide which I will never abandon. Can anybody please tell me as to where the government extracted authority from law or from delegated authority from the people to take your money and to give it to a Nazi in a different country? Someone want to help me with that? I would love for you to share that with me because I need to know. I mean, how many times do we need to be lied to? Here, let me show you one more thing, and I'm going to take Bill from Indiana. Moderna CEO just recently confessed to creating the COVID-19 vaccine 2 years before the alleged virus was released to the world. This means that they knew COVID was coming, that it was pre-planned, it was premeditated, just like I told you, and launched on the world for profit and power. And then whoever made this post said, God, we pray for exposure and justice. Are people in the body of Christ that biblically illiterate? Did our forefathers live out the commands of God to establish what we have over 250 years later? That's exactly what they did. Faith without works is dead. James 2, 14 through 26. So again, we have the church praying to God to do for them what the Lord has commanded them to do. His mercy was that he brought it to the light for the church to stand up and keep his commandments, right? And again, go to the Capitol building, the Supreme Court building, and you're going to find out exactly what I'm telling you. Moses, the Ten Commandments, justice, the guardian of liberty. Who's to bring the justice? The church is. What's the purpose of government? To enforce God's law. Right? Look at your foundations. That's called common law. We got Bill calling in from Indiana. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty, Bill. What say you, my friend?
Thank you, Bradley, for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, cool.
I go back to 2011 with Barack Obama. Remember when Joe Arpaio put together a cold case posse?
Yep.
And it was a proven fact through forensic documentation, one domestic and one was over in England, that they both proved that Barack Obama's birth certificate was in fact a fraud.
Yep.
The paper was wrong, the print was wrong, the ink was wrong,
yep.
And Mitch McConnell did nothing but sit on his thumb and pick his nose.
You're exactly right. By the way, if you want to know a little bit about that guy, he also attacked our friend Judge Roy Moore, who was running for Senate. And if you know anything about Mitch McConnell, he's married into the Chinese, so he committed treason long ago. But Bill, it's also interesting to know that his in-laws own the Ping Mei, where Mitch McConnell was busted trafficking over 90 pounds of cocaine, and the only ones that caught on to it. And just think about this. He sells himself, Bill, as Mr. Anti-Drugger, when in fact he's trafficking drugs. That's what all politicians do. They do the opposite of what they say they're going to do. But great point, and I totally appreciate that. And Again, it is what it is, but you're exactly right. And during that time, I was in contact with some of the people over there through WorldNet Daily because I was a contributor over there. And we all knew it was factual information. What was sad about it, Bill, is the said conservatives of the day wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. And now look where we're at because of it.
Yeah, we're in a
mess.
Oh, screen door in a submarine. There's no other way to look at it.
That is exactly right. Thank you for your call, brother. I really appreciate that. Nice call. That's a witty guy, man. He's thinking about it, right? Yeah, that's it. You know what? I want to go over to something that Bill just said. And it lines up with what our forefather said, a whale going through a net. Now, listen to this carefully, the quote, okay? This is what John Adams said, and I'm piggybacking what our friend Bill from Indiana just said. He said this, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and Christianity. Avarice, ambition, revenge, or gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution," right? Oh, hang on a second. It just covered me up here. It says, "The cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution is designed only for a moral and a Christian people. It is wholly inadequate for any other." Is that right? Yeah, just like what did Bill say? It's like having a screen door on a submarine. What's going to happen when you let it go, folks? The water's going to sink the submarine, isn't it? Yeah, it's the same thing that he's telling us here. If the church doesn't get busy and do their job by enforcing the law, they have to first come to the realization that they are the law. But if they don't understand that they are the law, I'm here to give it to you. They don't have a right to break the law. You are the law, church, and you must enforce the law. And if you fail to enforce the law, you're going to be just like what Bill said, that screen on a submarine. And that's where we're at today, as well as piggybacking Bill's comment with John Adams' comment, because it's exactly true, 100%. I want to make one more point here, and I'm just looking at this beautiful little guy. Little girl, sorry. It's always the little people, folks, that get me more than anything else. And Brooke was 42 days old. I just told you and gave you the quote from the CEO Moderna the CEO from Moderna. I told you that it was all, you know, pre-made. But Brooke was 42 days old and weighed just 8 pounds, 4 ounces when doctors thought it'd be a good idea to give him... Oh, now it's a him. I'm sorry. Brooks. I'm sorry. I thought it was Brooke as a girl. Sorry, my bad. But Brooks was 42 days old when doctors thought it'd be a good idea to give him a full set of 2-month shots on October 15th. 4 hours post-shots, and Brooks had visibly swollen in his face, and on October 19th, Brooks tragically and unexpectedly passed away at his home. Autopsy had showed obvious swelling of the brain and the heart. These are the perpetrators behind the vaccines, the BioShots. Autopsy has showed obvious swelling of the brain and heart. We've heard this 1,000 times over. We've heard all of these that lived through it that were advocating the said shots that they were lied to and they were apologizing, like I showed you on Saturday, concerning Piers Morgan. When are we as a people going to stand up and hold every one of them accountable? Well, we still have the time to do it. And that's the good news that we have. We'll be right back.
The annual Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference is set for April 4 and 5 in Wausau, Wisconsin. Our theme this year is Revival and Reverence, Returning to God, with some great speakers, including the courageous Pastor Art Pawlowski from Canada, Dr. Ted Brower, Matt Truella, Scott Shera, Pastor Butch Paw, and more. Learn more and get your tickets today at WisconsinChristianNews.com. This is sure to be the highlight of your year.
Hey there, this is award-winning international journalist Alex Newman. We live in a world dominated by fake news, lies, manipulation, and it's just out of control, folks. Our country is in big trouble, our churches, our families. We need honest journalism today more than ever. And that's why I founded Liberty Sentinel Media. I hope you'll visit us today at libertysentinel.org, where you'll get access to exclusive content exposing the threats to our faith, family, and freedom while equipping you to fight back. Go to libertysentinel.org today.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was correct when he said, "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless people. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." President Andrew Jackson rightly stated that if the Supreme Court is the final arbiter to decide differences of right and wrong, of what the Constitution says, then we have ceased to be our own rulers, and the Supreme Court is then become our ruler. Things don't turn up in this world until somebody turns them up. President James Garfield goes on and says, "I love agitation and investigation and glory in defending unpopular truth against popular error." Abolitionist William Lloyd Garrison said, "With reasonable men I will reason, with human men I will plead, but to tyrants I will give no quarter, nor waste arguments where they will certainly be lost."
Wisconsin Christian News, a 48-page national newspaper unlike anything you've seen before. Hard-hitting commentaries, politically incorrect, vital news and information you can't get anywhere else. Get a free sample copy. Email rob@wisconsinchristiannews.com and mention the name Bradley Dean. Caution, side effects of this newspaper for liberals and evangelifish include, but are not limited to, uncontrolled fits of rage, weeping and wailing, and the urge to curl up in a fetal position in a safe space in your mama's basement.
Content Christian Media Conference is hosting a one-day event on Monday, February 24th at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. It's one amazing day of fellowship, networking, screenings, panels, and inspirational keynotes. There'll be breakouts on filmmaking, storytelling, writing, distribution, and more, with lunch included. It's perfectly timed, just before the start of NRB.
Register at ChristianMediaConference.com.
BBSRadio.com. If you don't mind me adding to this really quick, folks, if you look up at social media platforms, sonsoflibertymedia.com, beforeitsnews.com, both sides, left side of the page, subscribe. Sudden and unexpected, this was posted yesterday, over 2 million, listen to me carefully, over 2 million new cases of cancer. The most ever in history. The most ever in history. And these people are gauging themselves, building themselves up to reassail the people that they are supposed to represent in such a fashion. What the politicians are telling you is it saves lives. What the fruit tells us is just the exact opposite. And you know what's even worse than that? You know it. You know it's true. And yet again, 20 years later, every day on the radio show, giving the people the answers, and they have the audacity to text me and say, "Well, what was the answer? What was the answer?" The answer is you have provision in the Constitution to hold every single one of them accountable, both in Article 2, Section 4, impeachment, Article 1, Section 3, Clause 7, justice. Don't sit there, Americans, and whine about what you tolerate. Don't whine about what you tolerate, because it's sickening and it's embarrassing, to say the least. Here, let me just show you this, and we're going to get into our main topic here. A lot of people didn't see what I'm going to show you concerning Donald Trump real quick. You all know pro wrestling's fake, right? I mean, everybody knows that. Football's rigged. You all know that. Baseball's rigged, right? You all know that. Basketball's all rigged, right? You all know that. We've known that for decades, but some people are still asleep to it, right? But going back to Donald Trump, you are well aware of the fact that he has been groomed in a favorable light. His enemies said that he was groomed in such a fashion, and then during the end of his grooming, he was given a show called The Apprentice, and then they were going to push him as the president. His enemies told us that Apprentice, that show that was given unto him, was the very segue or the bridge to get him into the people's White House. Were they wrong or were they right? Sometimes you got to listen to the bad guys, folks, and wade out in the Word of God and discernment in heart. But I want to show you the father of the vaccine with his buddy, the head of WW, whatever you want to call it. And I just want to show you how much time he had and how many opportunities he had to exercise his gift of covetousness and deceit upon the people. Check this out.
Let me put it very simply, Vince. I'm taller than you. I'm better looking than you. I'm stronger than you. 100%. I will kick your ass. Go!
You hear that, folks? Look at how easily the people are entertained. Is this upright conduct? I'm just curious. Is that presidential to people? I mean, okay. If there's one thing I admire, is our forefathers. I mean, one of my favorite places to go is not only Washington, D.C., into Richmond, Virginia, into Yorktown, Virginia, but one of my favorite places to go is to Williamsburg. And when I look at the history of those men, I want to die in the spirit of our forefathers. Just like Abraham died and slept with his fathers. Just like David slept with his fathers. This is the kind of vernacular that I'm using right now. Why? Because I have so much admiration for every single one of them. You want to talk about godly, upright men? Okay. And look at the price they had to pay to give us what we have today. Okay. You want to talk about love? There's love. John 15:13. I want to show you. I got to show you this because it just perfectly piggybacks on what I was just talking about. You know what they're doing with the kids now? I don't know if you've seen this or not, but I just want to show it to you. We don't need to listen to the audio. But if you guys see this, this is Will Smith's kid. And you probably have seen this. Don't tell me Will Smith. By the way, Will Smith is a sodomite. All of the black communities exposing him for being a corrupt sodomite, Will Smith is, to the core. This is his son that's suffering his abuse and his mother's abuse. He shows up at the Grammys with a castle on his head. Don't tell me for one moment they didn't tell him, you better do this. Nobody in their right mind would ever in a million years put up with that. Nobody. And when you look at that little boy, another one is Justin Bieber. Both him and Will Smith's kid were completely violated. How many of those kids in Hollywood today have been given over by their parents for the money that their kids could make for them? I mean, it's really a sick day. It really is. But I want you to see, friends, what they're doing. They're shooting for the floor. There's no standard for young people anymore. I want to show you another one. I got to take the volume off because he swears here.
Okay? But look at this guy. This guy is in an arena in Chicago. I mean, he's so overweight. He's sitting there with an oxygen mask on, swearing at the audience because they better accept the fact that he can't get up off that couch. No joke. You know how he did his last video? And I'm talking about how they're teaching the kids to shoot for the floor rather than raising the bar of expectation real high, namely in Christ, the way that they used to in this country. You know what they did? They had to have him laying on his back to film the video. I'm not even kidding you. Not even kidding you, folks. And I want to show you again how the people are entertained in this country. And it's not the kids' fault. It's what the adults are allowing to happen to their kids. And when I'm saying they're shooting for the floor, I can't make this kind of stuff up. I mean, you would think that pro wrestling would be everybody's clue to understand that they're being defrauded and deceived by the powers that they tolerate, that are making billions of dollars off them. I mean, here, you got a football player making hundreds of millions of dollars, and yet your dad, well, you're at the football game, your dad, your grandpa, your uncle, your brother, your cousin, your neighbors over in some unconstitutional war fight an enemy, and he's got a real slim chance of coming home, and he makes $35,000 a year. You want me to put two and two together for you folks? Something wrong with that? A little lopsided, do you think? Let me go back to this guy. His name is Dave Blunts. He's so big, he has to sit on a couch when he performs. Now, who in their right mind would buy a ticket to go see a guy that stuffs himself to the point where he can't even breathe when he's recording? No joke. No joke. No, this is on David. This isn't on the kids. But I'm surprised that anybody would buy a ticket to go see this guy. He's a glutton is what he is. It's lascivious and it's a violation of God's law. But I want you to listen to the crowd when David stands up, just to show you how ignorant people have become. So here's the picture. David's probably 400 pounds. Okay, he's got a microphone in his hand. He's got an oxygen tank hooked up to him because he can barely breathe. That's how overweight he is. That's his fault. That's his fault. That's nobody else. Don't sit there and tell me he's got a disease or he's sick. Nope. It's his hand that's taking the food and shoving it back in his own face. He's making the choice to become what he is. You are what you eat. This guy doesn't quit eating. Okay, Deuteronomy 30:19. Now listen to the crowd when he steps up off the couch. Again, this is craziness. He's about ready to stand up. He's sitting on a couch. Did you ever think, anybody, because I'm an 80s, 90s kid, did anybody ever think in a million years you would ever see anything like that up on a stage? Being promoted as the next new star? Can I ask you something? Everybody knows the Communistic Manifesto planks. Did you forget that that was one of those planks? To shoot for the floor? And to teach the kids how to shoot for the floor. You know what they have in public schools, by the way? This is a side note. Not only are they being indoctrinated by the federal government, but they have something called No Child Left Behind. They have bureaucrats indoctrinating these kids through the books. That's a crime within itself. Under Bush, they had something called No Child Left Behind. That's communism. That's where they teach all the kids, this guy's no better than this guy. Everybody gets a trophy. You know what I'm talking about? In other words, instead of teaching them to shoot for the stars, they teach them to shoot for the floor. This is what's going on a massive scale. It's all done by design on the backs of the innocent. And again, I want to remind everybody, this is not the young people's fault. This is Jesus saying in Luke 7:35, wisdom is justified by her children. When you complain about the younger generation, you better go look in the mirror because you are at length responsible for what you see in society concerning our young people. And yes, we are our brother's keeper. And yes, if we love them as we love ourselves, and yes, if we love them kids out there outside of just our kids, we're going to reach out to them kids too. That is a demonstration of love. We're not to love in word, neither in tongue, but by deed and truth. By this, our hearts will be assured before him. By what we do, friends, love is a demonstration. It's not a lip service. We need to love on these kids and right the wrongs. And somebody needs to love on this David Blunt guy enough and tell him to knock it off. Because the way he's eating right now, he's going to end up killing himself. We're going to come right back. Sons of LibertyRadio.com. Every time we turn our heads the other way, when we see the flawed flouted, when we tolerate what we know to be wrong, when we close our eyes and ears to the corrupt because we're too busy or too frightened, when we fail to speak up and speak out, we strike a blow against freedom and decency and justice. Robert Kennedy. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same, or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. Martin Luther, the great reformer, stated, "When you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on."
Hello, this is Caleb Collier, host of Church and State. Find us at churchandstate.media. Take it from me, you have to listen to Bradley Dean. Bradley Dean is one of the greatest theologians and patriots of our time. He is leading the charge in our modern-day revolution. Bradley doesn't pull punches and always presents what is right, not beholden to party, politics, or pulpits. I am proud to call him friend. He is truly a son of liberty.
So you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and keep thinking to yourself, there are so many others who need to hear this message too, but you don't know quite how to reach them. Well, then this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. Why not schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty? It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. We all have loved ones, neighbors, and those around us that need to not only hear the truth, but be moved to action to do something about the problems that we face and make a difference in their own lives and communities. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean near you, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And start making a difference in your world today.
Don't have a place to go for church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with Scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all true Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you're looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inerrant Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble.
BBSRadio.com.
Okay, so let's get to it. 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. Let's get to the topic here. They will receive a greater condemnation. There's no doubt about it. I'm reading through Jeremiah. I mean, I'm at like 52 concerning the chapters that I'm in right now, chapter 52. And I can clearly get what he's saying. I understand it. I mean, you want the heart of God and understanding the heart of God? Read the book of Jeremiah and the greatest of all prophets, Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that when you look at the parallel, look at Matthew 23. Put that up against Jeremiah 23. Okay, we're talking about the same Spirit. Yes, the same Holy Spirit operating through both of them. Put that up against 1 Corinthians 12, the whole of it, that they might not serve dumb idols. I mean, the Lord's telling the people, listen, this is what's going to happen, asking the questions, what is it that I've done unto you that you would do this?
And then the Lord starts telling them through Jeremiah, this is what's going to happen to you because you've refused to repent. The bad is not on me. The bad is on you. And he kept pleading with them, the Lord did, and pleading with them through Jeremiah. And what did they do? Every step of the way, they rejected him. And there was even times where he was contending with false prophets, who, by the way, were taken out for giving false words of prophets or a prophecy concerning how it countered Jeremiah's. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah met with him and said to him, you know what, the Lord did not send you. And he did this privately, but he said, the Lord did not send you. And within a year, he was gone. And then how people would ask Jeremiah, what is the Lord saying? And then he'd come back and give him the word of the Lord, and the people would do the exact opposite. That is exactly true with the gift of prophecy. When you get something from the Lord, it's a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gift of prophecy, 1 Corinthians 14, them falling down, knowing that the secrets of their hearts have been made manifest, knowing that God is in you of a truth. It's interesting that what they'll do, and I've seen it so many times, I would go so far as to say out of seven out of ten times that I've been used by the Lord to do that, they will do the exact opposite as what you give them. Or they'll lie about it only to be uncovered by the Lord and showing you the truth of the matter and themselves as well. So, you know, I think people really need to get a better understanding of the love of God. The love of God does not remove judgment, friends. I don't know where people get that. It's because they're, again, once again, derelict of duty when it comes to the time that they should spend diligently seeking out the word of the Lord for themselves. But even when you look at Luke 11:42, what does it say? It says, woe unto you Pharisees. He's cursing them, Jesus is. And then he says, the Pharisees were the religious hypocrites of the day who would, they hated Jesus, the cornerstone. Why? And because he was a stumbling block to their righteousness. And to the Greeks, why was he an offense to them? Because they didn't believe that they needed a savior from their sin. And so, you know, it's like you got to get everybody in between and give them understanding the best way that you can concerning the group of people that you're talking to. But here, and specifically, we're talking about the Pharisees, the self-righteous that hated Christ, that had him crucified. They were afraid to lose their place in their nation in John 11. Jesus says, woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe. Right? They thought their money, the system of indulgence, was going to buy themselves out of the fact that they've sinned before a just and a holy God. But look what Jesus said. You tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. But what you do, Jesus said to them, listen to me, Americans, God is love, and everything God does is love, right? And you, what does he say to them, to the Pharisees? You pass over judgment and the love of God. If anybody takes the time to read the word of God through and through, you're going to see that the heart of God is judgment. Again, it reflects the cross of Jesus Christ. When you look at Christ on the cross, that's how much God hated sin. And he took our iniquity, Second Corinthians 5:21. He took our sin, our iniquity, and he threw it on Christ for what we did. And here comes Jesus, steps into the place and says, I'll take their punishment, Lord. And so what did the Lord do? The Bible says that it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And he bruised him for the very purpose that in the bruise was the redemption of me and you. Do you understand the purpose of the bruise? Why did he do that? To reconcile us back unto himself through his sacrifice. What put him on the cross? Our sin, our transgressions in breaking God's law, 1 John 3:4, by design. And here comes Jesus, and he steps in our place, and he dies for the sins of mankind. That was God's judgment. And it was not without love. Why did he do it? Because he loved. It's not independent of his love. He did it because he knew what was on the other side of it. 3 days later, the Lord blew him out of the grave. Just like he's going to blow us out of the grave. Amen. Hallelujah. I want people to understand they need to get a balance of the love of God, folks. The love of God and the grace of God does not leave you in your sin. It brings you to the cross where we confess it and we forsake it and we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that's missing in the modern day message in the church today. But let me get to this really quick. what we see is we see, and everybody, by the way, I want to say this too. Everybody wants to blame the church. Well, listen, I didn't apply for my message. I'm responding to the one that gave me the message out of love for him and holding his heart for what I see here. And again, it's all being led of his spirit in the process. And if you look at prophetic ministries, listen to me carefully. I'm not claiming to be anything, but I can tell you in part the giftings that this ministry operates in. Everything I see is black and white. I don't see in-between-itisms. I really don't. And that applies to his mercy. That applies to his love. It applies to his compassion. Law to the proud, grace to the humble. Put that into perspective. But I want to make clear that you all get the heart of God, which is justice and judgment. That's the very habitation of his throne. Psalm 89, Psalm 97, go back to the heart of God. Jeremiah 9:24. My goodness, I understand it. I understand it. I mean, it's like going back and looking at a good judge. He judges criminals according to the standard of law. And he responds to how they either are repentant or they're hardened. In the fact of the matter is, if a man commits a crime, a judge that loves the innocent and loves his community, loves his city, loves his county, loves his state, whatever the case is, he's not going to tolerate crime. Does he zero out on bringing full force and execution of the law upon the heads of the wicked because he hates the innocent? No, you've got it completely backwards, and this is because of the backwards preaching in modern-day Christendom, and it lacks Christ. And what is it? They got it. They've gutted all this. All the pith and marrow of the heart of God and understanding is completely gone. Man, I chastise my kids, and I'm talking about those that are my kids. I chastise them because I love them, not because I hate them. And then there's other times where I have compassion on them, or I want to go out and I want to bless them. That's love too. Oh, so it is with God. So it is with the Lord. Again, we got to have a balance. God is love. So when I'm talking about what I'm talking about today, everybody jumps on the bandwagon blaming the church for what they're not doing. But wait a second. If you're the church, you should be righting the wrongs. You should be the one that's repairing the breach. Isaiah 58 verse 12. And if you're not, you're a part of the problem. You're just as guilty of those as those that you're complaining about. There's no way you're going to get away from it. Charles Spurgeon said, a time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have the clowns entertaining the goats. It's exactly what we have throughout America today. And this is not just a little leaven. It's 90% of what you have concerning the problem in this country. They're no longer the light. They become the darkness. They've compromised. They're a bunch of diplomatic magicians that have agreed to the corruption that they've seen in government, even going so far as to remove Christ completely and the cross completely to fully take on one that looks just like them concerning the current administration. That's a fact. See, what we have today is a bunch of goats and tares among the sheep, right? Let's go to the congregation. And because very little biblical church discipline is practiced, what do? They live among the sheep, they feed on the sheep, and they destroy the sheep. And why? Because the overseers let them do it. Those who are to oversee the sheep are going to pay a high penalty for allowing the things that the Lord condemns, in fact, within their bodies. And I'm talking about within their congregations. And addressing the responsibility and the party of responsibility, talking about the congregants, the fathers, the mothers, so on and so forth, those that claim to be Christians, you're going to stand before the one who loves them, and I'm talking about the real sheep that are the wheat in the midst of the tares. And because you didn't have enough courage to stand up and confront the wicked in protecting them, what's going to happen? The Lord will hold you accountable for what it is that you tolerate, okay? Hang on. Folks, I'll talk to you in 23, signing off of radio. 1 John 3:18. Again, we'll talk to you in 23. See ya. So let me finish this. So addressing the responsible party, I hope you're clear on what I'm trying to convey here. What we see in the congregations in America today are a bunch of goats and tares among the sheep. In every church you go into in America today, what do you see? I just seen someone, one of our friends online say that, you know, because I wasn't going along with what the hireling was saying, John 10:12 in so many words, I was kicked out of the church. She said she was kicked out of the church. Well, when you read John 16, isn't that what the Lord said? When you would obey him, that's exactly what the Lord said. Let me give this to you. Because when this was conveyed to me the other day by one of our friends, a friend of the ministry, I said to her, I said, Jesus already told us in John 16, verse 1, that these things that I've spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. That they will put you out of the synagogue, speaking to the Jews. Yeah, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. Is that what my friend's talking about? Well, I just wanted to encourage her. And I want to encourage you too. And I'm not telling you to go out and get kicked out of a church on purpose, because there's still good preachers out there, but they're in the corners. They're hard to find. They're not popular. The popular ones, they're seeker friendly. They're men pleasers, and they're false prophets. Go to Luke 6:26 when you get a moment. But I want to encourage you. Do you guys all know that John Wesley, when he would preach, he would go into the churches, and because of what he preached, did you know that they kicked him out of the church? Whitfield? Did you know that many famous preachers, John Knox, did you know that they were kicked out of the church? They were kicked out of the church because they weren't playing along with their fiend appearances in their false gospel. Okay. Well, Martin Luther was completely ostracized. He was excommunicated from the church for doing what? Holding to the word in the face of a bunch of heretics, period. But I want to make clear that when they were kicked out of man's building, man's carnal version of the church, the Lord drove them where? To the fields. To the people that needed to hear the gospel. Remember when Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men nigh unto me? Praise God that they kicked him out of the church, because if they didn't get kicked out of the church, guess what would have happened, friends? They would have never took Jesus without the camp and bearing the reproach and giving the message to the people that the Lord wanted to give them, because man didn't want to hear them. And I'm talking about heaven's message. So we need to put this into perspective, and I want you to be encouraged in the process of just that. So let me go back to this. Those Christians, the responsible party, those church overseers, you all need to understand that the Lord loves people, and he desires through his commandments. And let me take it a step further. He's indignant concerning the things that people and men tolerate inside of the building called a church today. The abominable have entered into the building. And again, if you read throughout the Old Testament, folks, and you can see it clearly in the New Testament, those are the last things that happened. And those are precursors to a manifestation of God's full judgment upon a nation. When you see sodomites inside of a building, or you see men dressed as women, or women acting like men with a cleric outfit on, right? Preaching a gospel that completely counters the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, first of all, they're playing a very dangerous game. And so are those people that tolerate the wicked in the pulpit. But so it is with the congregants. You can't sit back and allow the wicked to remain inside of the body of Christ. In the 1600s and in the 1700s, that's the information that I know of. Before you could be a part of a church, you had to be proven, just like Scripture tells us, for up to 2 years. They needed to know that you were a real Christian. It wasn't like all welcome here and you stay just the way that you are and you can become a member as long as you pay your tithe every week to help me pay for this new building and these new pews. Hey, man, we're all in this together because God loves us all. No, he doesn't. God is angry with the wicked every day. The very wicked that people tolerate within the body today, that the church overseer has every right to ostracize and to kick them out and to excommunicate them from their churches. And the Bible tells us clearly in the book of 1 Timothy, it says, those that sin, you're to rebuke before all. But that's complete. Oh, Bradley, I never read that. Well, read your Bible again. You'll clearly see it. And when you look at the way of the master, you're going to see that he continuously what? Rebuked the religious hypocrites, the wicked that were among them. And it even happened to us. How many times throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do you see Jesus? What do you see him doing? He's constantly dividing. Matthew 10:34. Read it. He didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. For what? To bring variance, to divide his people from those that claim to be his people. John 6 is another prime example. They all called themselves disciples, and Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Isn't it interesting that when he said that, which is soul food, I totally understood what he said. But that's soul food, and what did the said followers of Christ say? This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? The Lord's always separating. All the, what does the word of God do? That's exactly what it does. Here, I know I got to do a lot of homework for people that don't want to do it for themselves. And obviously that's why I'm here, right? But I do want to go over to Hebrews 4 really quick. And I want to just kick this out. And we'll go for about 10 more minutes if that's okay. But if you look at Hebrews 4 and you go down to the verse 12, what does it say? For the word of God is quick and it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. And then he talks about how there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. He says, all things are naked. Every creature's, it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes with whom we have to do. Okay? So again, let's understand what the word says, not what men that are enemies of the cross have to say. Matthew 10:34 says, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll continuously see the Lord driving that division between the wicked and his sheep, the goats and his sheep. It's exactly what the church should be doing all day long. You know, one of the things that really confuse a lot of people is when you hear people, and I hear it all the time, and some people I've had it with them. I've just said enough of this. I could show you the fruit of the devil from the top of the head of a person to the sole of the feet of the person. And this woman, oh, he's a Christian because he professed to be a Christian. And I would say 1,000 times over, that is not the fruit of a Christian. That is not the fruit of a Christian. That is not what Christians do. What Christians do is they act just like the one they're supposed to emulate. Okay? And it shows you the flesh in the spirit. And again, John 3:6 tells us to make distinction, folks. There's those that are born of the flesh and born of the spirit. You know, there's a great portion, more than not, in the body of Christ in the American church today that claim to be Christians, and they're not Christians. They're not born of the spirit. They're born of the flesh. And what do? Oh, they're experts at doing what? They're experts at warring against those that are spirit-filled. The sheep. And now going back to the point that I wanted to make here, I must have went a little too long for some people to have to stay. Sorry about that. Not. Wow. You know, whenever people have to think, you don't tell them all the bad news, and you got to start telling them what they need to think and they need how they're supposed to be raised up. Man, they're the first one's gone. They're just doing us a favor. They're making it a lot easier, but it's very disheartening to see so many people that claim to love the Lord until it's time to put him on and bear their cross. So let me go back over to this, talking about the responsible party again, because we're all responsible, okay? What's going to happen is the responsible party, they're going to stand before the one who loves the sheep. Okay, and because a lot of the professed Christians didn't have enough courage to stand up and confront the wicked in the flock and protecting them, the Lord will hold you accountable. Oh, it's just a fact. It's just a fact. The Lord said in the book of Proverbs chapter 8, he says, I lead in the midst of the paths of judgment. He leads in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Didn't Paul talk about a language in a vernacular that we have that the world doesn't have? Didn't Paul talk about a voice of the world and the voice of the Lord? Didn't Paul continuously tell us he was responsible for creating, being the inspired writer to write two-thirds of the New Testament when he said to beware of a spirit of Antichrist? And a spirit of Antichrist is what? One that promotes what God condemns and what he did condemn on the cross of Jesus Christ. It's crazy. It's craziness. But I want to say something, Christians. We're all going to be, and I'm talking about those that are the real deal, those that know what I'm telling them is right, and they're still not doing anything. You're condemning yourself. You're heaping up the wrath of God upon yourself because you're going to answer for what you don't do here. So let me go to the average scenario in the American church. With regard again to the churches, by and large, is the word and the commandment of men. When you look at Matthew 7, I want you to see this because, again, this is where America's at. And I really hate, folks, there is a positive to this, and the positive is what we do. The hope is what we do with the truth that's been given unto us, doing all that we can do and leaving the results up to God, right? But if you look at Mark 7, listen carefully to what Jesus said. The Pharisees are talking about, you know, washing their hands and the pots and the pans and the cups and the brazen vessels and of tables. And then the Pharisees and scribes, the doctors of the law, asked him, why don't your disciples, how come they don't walk accordingly to the tradition? That means attached to the old customs. How come it is that they don't do according to the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Now, this is a kick in the pants, but it drives it right to the Lord concerning the Lord's response. Listen to what he said. He said and answered unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. You guys all know what hypocrites are, right? Pretenders. They pretend to be what they're really not. That's hypocrites. Pretenders. Oh my goodness. I see them all over the country. Oh, I got to laugh because I've cried. I've been frustrated to no end. I'm amazed I still have a whole head of hair. Oh, yeah, and it's still there. For how many times I wanted to pull it out. Oh, and I'm getting my strength renewed by the Lord because I learned 10 years ago that you're not going to drag people over the top of the hill with you. That's why I'm laughing. What's sad about it is they don't even care for their own souls. They just go right back to their vomit and they're content with it. That's what's sad about it, all of it. But it just gets to the point where it's like Elijah up on top of the mountain, 1 Kings 18, where he's mocking at the prophets. He's mocking them in front of everybody on Mount Carmel. That's what I feel like right now, in part. But let me show you this. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, well has Isaiah prophesied of you, you hypocrites, you pretenders who claim to be the children of God. As it is written, behold, the people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. What did he say next? And it's important you get this. Howbeit in vain, vain means empty and worthless, do they worship me? Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In doing what? For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold to tradition of men as the washing of pots and pans. Let me take that to modern day Phariseeisms. How many times have you seen a man with a vision given to him by the Lord, genuinely? And the minute he shares that vision, here comes the prosecution. Persecution. Forgive me, I was thinking of a lawyer. Immediately, persecution comes. Immediately, a trial comes. Immediately, his board wants to get around him and gut all of it. Why? Because he has carnal men on his board, and he wants them to understand his vision. I love saying it this way and putting it in a nutshell for you. It's a good thing Moses didn't take or have a board meeting or take a poll from those that didn't know the difference before he led them into the promised land. That's what I'm saying. How many carnal men today, this is just a bunny trail, how many carnal men today in the modern day church have warred against the Spirit of God at every given step? You see it all the time. You see it all the time. I remember when I was starting to do high school assemblies, you guys have all heard of Teen Challenge, Minnesota Teen Challenge.
we had one of the board members there. We had about 30 people there. They were all new people to me. And he started talking about, well, we need to do this. And we need to do this. We need to get this group of men in and this group of men in. And I said, listen, guy, we've already done that. Everything that works for this ministry is not man-made, rest assured. You know what he did in front of all 30 people? He said to me, he goes, who died and made you God? Now, I want to say this, too, concerning even the team that I had around me, which some of the guys were exceptional, no doubt. But I want you to listen carefully. And very few were exceptional, by the way. If I thought the way that they thought, I would have never did one high school. When the Lord gives you a vision, you know what's interesting? He supplies the power and he supplies the faith. It's all from him, through him, and to him. And I didn't know that I couldn't get the job done, but I got it done because I believed what was in my heart. And what was in my heart is what he put in my heart. And that faith that he put in my heart was the fruit of regeneration. Okay? So I just want everybody to make clear, and I want to see through, and I want to make it clear to everybody listening to me. Carnal men have overflown. They have, I don't want to say overshadowed. That's not the right word. They have filled to the brim churches in America. They're carnal men. Can I ask you this? Who do they obey? How many times have you heard preachers, they call themselves preachers. Bradley, you sound like you got a chip on your shoulder. Yeah, I do. Do you? And if you don't, why don't you have a chip on your shoulder? Do you see the damage that they're causing concerning the sheep in the midst of the wolves that you tolerate? You don't have a problem with the wolves in the flock. You have a problem with guys like me that come in and say, let's get rid of the wicked so we can feed the flock. There's the chip on my shoulder. Bradley, you got a real problem with the church. No, I don't, because it's not the church. I have a problem with counterfeits. I have a problem with those that take heed to the commandments of men and they go no further. And you know what another common thing is that is said, folks? Boy, we're just having church here again, aren't we? You know another common thing that we see is that if you go beyond the confines of keeping man's commandments, you know what they'll say to you? They'll say to you, Bradley, you better be careful so the devil doesn't push you too far. No joke. The devil's going to push me too far. Whoa. Has anybody seen that happen before? I need to understand that one because I haven't seen that one yet. I see where the Lord wants to bring us out into the water, in the boisterous water, so we can walk on it by faith just like Peter did. That is until he looked at the boisterous waves. Isn't that crazy? The enemy is and I'm talking about Satan, he doesn't want you at the cross. He doesn't want those that understand the cross, that are dead to themselves and alive to Christ, where the spirit of prophecy operates through them. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want them operating in resurrection power because it destroys everything that he tries to establish. You have now become a threat to his kingdom, and the enemy knows it. Remember the sons of Sceva? You remember all those guys? They thought they were going to go ahead and copy the apostles and start using the name of Jesus to cast out devils, which real Christians have, P.S. What happened to them? Because they weren't born of the Spirit of God? What happened? The devil had his way. His devils had their way with the sons of Sceva, didn't they? Paul, we know, they said, but you, who are you? See, and what's happening is it's completely upside down. I can't overemphasize that enough. Hey, can I ask you something, folks, real quick? Paul, an apostle, do you know what he said in Galatians 1? The first thing he said, it's important you hear this. He said, not of men. The first thing he said, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Who did it? Who was the author? Who was the finisher of his faith? Christ was. What sort of contention did Paul have with men that said they were the children of God? Oh, constantly being attacked. They wanted to kill him. The Pharisees did. They turned on him. How many kings turned on him? How many, you know, I mean, the list goes on. Even of his own brother. Read 2 Corinthians 11. He talks extensively about this stuff. Folks, we have a responsibility, and I better get back on track here. You know, I better get back on track. Too many people need to get off having church here because they need to get onto another show host that tells them about more of the problems that they tolerate. Hey, you need to grow up. Seriously. I'm talking right now about they will receive a greater condemnation. I'm talking about you. If you're not a part of the answer. In dealing with the wicked that are preying on the sheep. Why is it happening? Because the average scenario in America, with again regard to the churches, by and large, is the word and commandments of men. They don't live by God's rule concerning his government. His will on this earth is not being done. If you see it throughout the book of Acts, how many tumults? How many tumults, friends? How many uprisings? Domestic insurrection, call it whatever you want. Right? But hold it into scriptural context. How many troubles did they have? What about in Ephesians? What about with the king when the apostles were preaching and who came out and wanted to destroy them? Who was doing that? Carnal men. What were they warring against? The Spirit of Christ. And if you look at Revelation 12:17, it tells you exactly why that's happening. Because they kept they had the testimonies of the Lord and they kept the commandments of the Lord. The devil doesn't bother with carnal men. Because he knows he's already got them. And carnal men love their sin and they act just like their father, some with a better godly cover, though it's dissimulated, though it's a counterfeit covering, it's fiend, it's false. They're pretenders. You got to be careful of those devils too. Because you see them all over the place in this country, in the halls of government, and you see them in the pulpits across America in a big way. Just had another article up here just a couple days ago. Another mega pastor of a mega church was busted for soliciting prostitution. Here, and then I'll show you, that was an evangelistic guy. But I want to show you this one too, because this one was pretty insane. But this has been going on in this country for some time now. And that's what this brings. So go ahead, look at this one, guys. Look who they prey on. Is that a godly act? Catholic Bishop Christopher Saunders charged with 32 counts of raping a 9-year-old boy. Oh, and again, I want to make clear, it's not just the Catholics. The said evangelists are just as guilty. Just as guilty. But nobody's advocating it more than this said Pope today. Which, by the way, the good Catholics have websites up calling him out for his heresies. Pretty crazy stuff. So because the preaching of Christ crucified is not preached, law to grace, Galatians 3:24, the church congregants, by and large, end up governing the direction of the church. Carnal men govern the direction of the church. That's why you have sodomites coming in. That's why you have what they call men dressed as women, all of which the Lord calls an abomination. That's why they're coming into the churches now. That's why they're inviting them. That's why they're putting their abominable flags outside of the church building. We call them the Church of Satan because it's exact advocating for what God condemns is not Christianity. It's not Christianity. And again, and I know many of you watch me every day. I'm just here to tell you, you're playing a dangerous game. You've been fairly warned. When you begin to tell people God loves them regardless, I want to tell you something, those that advocate abomination, There's a lot of people in hell that rejected the Lord's mercy, didn't they? Oh, and I said that right. It wasn't the Lord rejecting them. They rejected the Lord. God is love, right? So who loved who and who hated who? So much so that he sent his son to give you an opportunity. And what'd you do? You spit in his face. You mocked him. You put the crown of thorns on his head. You took the spear and jammed it into his heart. You put the nails in his hands and in his feet. That's what you did. And you continuously go the same direction. That is not a good place. God is not mocked. How many times you hear people talking and talking that direction and doing those things and advocating for those things, and they know it, and you know that they know it, and they keep going forward? It's just a matter of time. Those people are closest to judgment, or they're closest to getting saved, one of the two. I prefer that you get saved, but that's your call in response to what the Lord may be doing in your life. So again, because the church overseer doesn't want to lose the great number of people, and because he has unscriptural ideas regarding repentance and true conversions, Acts 20, verse 21, he then caters to what? This is what's important. He then caters to the wicked in the church, and his little group of true sheep that belong to Jesus Christ are then sitting there amid all the entertainment, all the worldliness, amid all the wickedness, while the real sheep just want to be fed to worship Jesus and to be taught the Bible. How unlike the patriarchs and those that have gone before us. Why do professed Christians put up with it? Because I know genuine Christians don't put up with that nonsense. What they do is they call them out in front of everybody that they may also fear. Okay? Those that tolerate that, you're going to receive a greater condemnation, no doubt. Not because Bradley Dean said it, but because the Word of God said it. Read James 3:1 when you get a moment. Good one to send to your local overseers. I'll go ahead and append this to the comment section if you want to go ahead and share it. It's kind of choppy, but it's kind of a PowerPoint. I like to PowerPoint, and that's how it is written where I am PowerPointing, okay? And so, again, if you just heard me on the radio, or you're watching me on video right now, at least you understand I broke it down. And usually when I say I'm PowerPointing something, when I PowerPoint something, I just have enough of the thought, because I've studied the thought, that I can go ahead and run down that channel real quick. It is appended in the comment section on Rumble. Folks, don't forget to support us if you are in this with us and keeping us out there. We've got many dates up and coming. If you'd like to become a son or a daughter of Liberty, please consider doing that. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com. If you order anything online, it goes out tomorrow morning. You'll have it within 2 to 3 days. USPS says 3 to 5 days. We love you by what we do. And we will talk to you in 23.